across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go, dear listener, here we go!
Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roll.
Some of you texters are nuts! Some of you texters are nuts! There's this guy, and it's a man who texts in every night. 0844 is the end of his number, and we phone him up, and he never answers the phone because he hasn't got the balls to answer the phone, right? And I'm guessing he texts me to try and upset me. I guess that's what it is, because they're all little digs. I've had such a great day today. I did some filming with Diane Morgan for her new series, Mandy. I play, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I play me in it. I play me in a comedy show. I did some filming today, and sat in a room with Sean Locke for an hour, and I met Diane Morgan, and it was a joy. You know, Kunk, there's Kunk, got a new series. I'm in it. I did some filming today, and I was so nervous, and she was so lovely and wonderful. I just had one of my favourite people in, Saf, right? I'm bulletproof. I got my boys this weekend. I'm bulletproof, right? I am completely bulletproof. So 0844 has texted him. No capital letters, hardly any punctuation, and a lot of spelling mistakes. But I guess it's hard to text with one hand. 0844 says, I have come to the conclusion that you are not bisexual, Ian Lee. There is no history of you having relationships with men. Just like you faked your owl attack, I suspect you are faking your bisexuality, which I find very sad indeed. He uses the name Bob from Croydon. We know that's not your name, 0844. Here's the thing. It doesn't make any sense. You don't have to have sex with someone. But you don't have to have sex with someone to be heterosexual, right? Right? You don't have to have sex with someone to be that sexuality. Now, I have a history, 0844. I'm not going to share it with you. It's none of your business. Absolutely none of your business. I have nothing to prove to you whatsoever. But it's a strange thing that a lot of your tweets are about what I may or may not have got up to sexually with other people. That's weird, man. That's weird, 0844. You need to ask yourself why you're so obsessed with my sex. You need to ask yourself why my sex interests you so much. I'm bulletproof tonight, dear listener. I'm bulletproof. I think I'm braver than Philip Schofield. I did it first. I think that makes me braver. I think I'm braver than Philip Schofield. I don't think you can even argue with that. I don't think you can even argue with that. Out of me and Philip Schofield, I am the bravest. Not really that bothered. I mean, it'd be good. It might help other people come out. Might help other young people come out. Might help other middle-aged men come out. I mean, but, you know. And here's the thing. Everyone going, oh, everyone's saying that Philip is brave. Well, what about his wife and children? Here's the thing. Here's the thing that you all seem to forget in 2020. You can care for more than one thing at a time. It doesn't just have to be one person or one group of people that you're considerate about at the expense of all other people. So, yeah, you can say, oh, I think what Philip Schofield did is quite brave. It doesn't mean, I hope Philip's wife and daughters are miserable and I hate them and I hope they really, really suffer. It doesn't mean that at all. It can mean, I think Philip Schofield's really brave. And without saying it, it can be, I think his family are brave as well. And I wish them the very best of luck and hope they're okay. Hope they're getting the love and attention that Pip is getting. So it's really strange that everyone is, oh, that's not brave. It's a little bit of homophobia going on there, guys. Good evening, Line 1. You're on the wireless.
Am I Line 1?
You're Line 1, and you're live on the wireless.
I'm live on the wireless, and I'm wired on the liveless.
Yeah!
Yeah, man. Hey, how you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm concerned about a mate of mine. But apart from that, I'm bulletproof. I'm bulletproof in 1 hour, 50 minutes.
What's up with you, mate? What's happening?
I don't want to say.
Oh, okay.
I'm just concerned about a mate. That's all. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm concerned about a couple of my mates. But yeah. I think they're used to it by now.
There you go. What you got for us, Big Jeff?
Oh, thank you. I didn't know if you knew who it was. Right. No, I was just going to say hello. And a friend of mine called you this evening. I'm sorry about that.
Was that Poisey?
Yes.
What's going on with him, man? How's he doing?
He's okay, you know.
Didn't sound okay.
I guess we are not the easiest travellers in life, if you know what I mean. More complex than they might be for some other people. But we get by, and actually we're good friends, and we help each other. We support each other, you know.
That's all you can do. That's what it's all about.
Well, I'm afraid too, yeah, that is all we can do.
That's all we can do, isn't it? Well, I hope he's doing all right. He sounded a little bit...
He's a little bit, yeah. He's been with me all day, so I'm a bit of a heavy hitter, like booze-wise and stuff, so he's probably drunk more today than he normally does.
Okie dokie.
But yeah, he's a good man, he's a good man.
Okay.
I know, but I'm still alive. Ian, still alive.
Okay, well, I suppose in that result, you're winning.
I guess.
I just find people that say that, I just find, you know, I find drugs really boring.
Oh.
I find them boring.
Yeah.
Even when I was a drunk, I found them boring. Boring. Drunks and stoners, boring.
I guess so, yeah.
It's just dull. It's a dull conversation.
I can't yet quite face the notion of sobriety, but I'm working towards it.
I'm not saying you should be or anything. I can tell when people are drunk and stoned. Trust me, dear.
Yeah, of course.
I just find it boring.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have yet to have
An interesting discussion with someone who smoked a joint or someone who's drunk more than 3 pints of beer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an interesting life you must have lived.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know what you're saying to me. I've drunk more than 3 pints of lager and I've smoked a joint. So you're telling me I'm boring, is that it? Isn't it funny?
Isn't it funny how you've got all defensive?
Well, no, you're obviously making a very pointed remark at a human being that you're talking to.
I didn't know you drank more than 3 pints of beer.
Well,
I didn't know that.
You do. You do know that.
Yeah, I'm saying that this is quite a boring phone call. Because he's going nowhere. And you've had your mate phone up who's in the same situation, was very, very rude. And we were...
You mean he was rude in that he criticised your style?
Well, we couldn't understand what he was saying.
I didn't tell him what to say, mate. I didn't tell him what to say. He found out...
Why are you getting so defensive and angry?
Defensive? What?
Why are you getting so defensive and angry, mate? What's that all about? Well, I'm just talking and you're getting very defensive. It's another thing that alcohol does that I find really tedious, makes people very aggressive.
Well, so you keep coming back to this point that other people are tedious and boring and you're so interesting.
You listen and you phone. You have the option to turn it off.
Well,
is it funny you've got all angry and defensive because I said I don't like people that drink too much or smoke weed?
Isn't
that funny? Your mate phones up and was aggressive and rude.
To rile me. You're not going to rile me.
But, Jeffrey, you're riled. You're getting very angry and defensive.
No, I'm not.
Well, you're getting sarcastic
really
now. You're getting sarcastic.
I'm so chilled out, mate. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, no, I wouldn't believe it.
I
wouldn't believe it. Now you're spouting out dull cliches.
Flat out like a lizard drinking.
Okay, you're getting defensive, you can't engage in a conversation, you're being aggressive, you're about to insult me, here we go.
I'm not going to insult you, I don't want to insult you, I have nothing to insult you about.
Well, I'm not insulting you, I'm saying I've never had an interesting conversation with someone that smoked a joint or had more than three pints of beer.
I've never had an interesting conversation with somebody who was sober, they're all boring.
Well, that's plainly nonsense.
Honestly, sober people are.
Well, that's
boring.
But Jeffrey, that's obviously not true.
Just talk about nonsense and recovery and children and puppies.
I have kittens actually, but isn't it funny how you're getting very aggressive? And you won't see it as aggression because you're drunk.
It's aggressive. You class it as aggressive.
Yeah, because I tell you why. Because it's
this is
aggressive.
How I talk.
You talk in an aggressive, rude. You talk in an aggressive, rude,
ill-mannered.
Yeah. Okay, if you let me finish the sentence.
Yeah, I don't. Nobody's paying me. How much are you getting paid an hour to talk this nonsense?
See, but I can't understand what you're
saying. How much are you getting paid an hour to talk this nonsense?
It's about 150 quid an hour.
Well, you're well overpaid.
There we go. You keep them coming, Jeff. I'm bulletproof tonight. You keep them coming, buddy.
That's it. That's all I've got.
It's the best you got. The best you got is I'm overpaid.
Well, I'm not going to insult you personally about it.
You've tried, and it's just not working. It's pathetic. I feel sorry for you, mate.
I don't know. You started on me.
No, I didn't. But here's the thing.
You started on me, boy.
No, Jeffrey. Jeffrey,
yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah, you did, boy. Yeah, boy, you did, boy.
I think my point about drunk
you,
people being
boring... You,
I think my point about people who've had a joint and more than three pints of beer being boring, I think Jeffrey's bearing this out. Has anyone got any idea what Jeffrey's talking about? Does anyone know? Because I haven't got a flipping clue. I haven't got a flipping clue, this poor bloke. It's, let's go back. Let's listen to what he's saying. Let's put his fader up. Jeff, did you just say I'm not a stand-up?
I'm sorry, would you like me to repeat myself? Are you having a slight... Is it hard of hearing or hard of thinking?
No, I put your fader down because it was so boring.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with you,
put
mate?
Put that little hook in your mouth, boy.
No, I'm the one that's going more on fishing, and I've caught two in one call.
Put that little hook in your mouth, boy. Anyway, it's been lovely talking to you, but you're so boring. I'm going...
Okay.
I'll see you later. If you ring me back.
Why would I ring you back? You're a terrible caller. Worst caller I've had in about five years.
You are so low rate.
Wow, Jeffrey, what's wrong, mate? Put the phone down. What was that about? Poor old Kath missed that. Does anyone know what that was about? I think he's proved the point. Here's the thing. He'll call back in a bit. We'll take him when he calls back. We'll let him have double bubble. Is it a full moon? I need to Google. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Kath, yeah. You missed a great call. Well, I say great call.
Was it an interesting person who'd been drinking and smoking?
No!
Oh!
It was Jeffrey, who phoned up to apologise for his other mate, Plobboy, or whatever his name was.
Poisey.
All I did was say, he'll call back in a bit, I'm sure. All I did was say that I've never had an interesting conversation with someone who's had a joint or had more than three pints. And he got very, very angry. I heard him mutter something about, I'm not a stand-up. Well, I'm not. I've not done stand-up comedy for about 20 years, 25, about 22, 23 years. Very strange. Put that in the podcast, because maybe he'll hear it when he sobers up. He'll call back in a minute, I'm sure of it. Nathan tweeted me. Nathan makes a really good point, actually. Nathan makes a really good point. Nathan says, here's an idea, Ian. If someone phones up and you don't like how they're speaking, why don't you just cut them off? Seems like the last few shows are just arguments, similar to the Julia Hartley Brewer show. Then it's a colon and an open bracket doing a sad face. If someone phones you up, if someone gets in touch with you and you don't like how they're speaking, why don't you just cut them off? So I blocked him.
Oh.
Because I didn't like how he was speaking. So I blocked him. Thank you. And also...
Here's the thing. Sometimes people come on and they're aggressive and then they calm down and we actually get to what's really upsetting them.
But also, I mean, I was kind of enjoying... The aggression came from nowhere.
Right.
From nowhere. Incredible scenes. Jeff, give us a call back, mate. Come on. Give us a call back. Say sorry and we'll carry on. Let's go to Kerry.
So, my Ian, how are you?
I'm on top of the world. I say I'm bulletproof. I've had a great day working with Diane Morgan, seeing my friend Saf. I've got the kids tomorrow. I am bulletproof, Kerry, right now.
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's great. How are you doing?
I'm amazing myself. Ooh.
Whoa! Right, that's a yellow card, Kerry. One more of those and you're off, mate.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, Jeff seemed very furious for some reason. I have no idea why Jeff was so angry. However, I can understand his point of view.
Well, I don't know what his point of view was. Maybe you could explain it to me.
I think his point of view was that he'd had a few drinks, he'd had a smoke, and therefore he was correct. And sometimes, if you counteract that, get someone angry.
What do you mean, so therefore he was correct? He was correct about what?
No. In his mind, he was correct.
Oh, in his mind,
he was correct, as in, you know,
But I was correct. It was a boring call.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And I feel for Jeff. But
I do. I wish him all the best. And when he phones up and apologises, I'll happy to take that, and then we can have a proper chat.
Yes. And I agree with you.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a great night, Ian. Right.
I'm having the best night, Kerry. Thank you. Someone's tweeted. Where's this? Mr. Linton. Where has he tweeted? I don't understand why some celebrities, in inverted commas, see the need to come out in public. Do you not? Really? You don't? I don't care what their sexual proclivities are. Well, that's not that's not the point. It has no bearing on how good they are as a TV presenter. Plenty of them do their jobs very well without invoking their own preferences. I'm guessing you're heterosexual.
Do you mention your wife at work?
And that's the thing, right? Who knows why Philip Schofield came out? Maybe the papers had the story, right? Maybe the papers had the story. It's been done before. It's not unknown or uncommon for papers to phone people up and say, look, we know you're gay. We're running this story. There's two ways of doing it. You can either do it with us, or we do it without you. But we're running this story at the weekend. So that could have happened. When you are a big celebrity, here's the thing. Maybe it made him feel better. Maybe it made him feel better. It made me feel better coming out as bi. It made me feel better.
Can I also raise a phone call that we had yesterday from a guy who was terrified that his 10-year-old boy might be gay?
Yeah, it helps. It helps. And I'm guessing you're heterosexual, not in any way to use that as a weapon to attack you. But I think for people who are in a sexual minority, part of the LGBTQ+ community, that to see someone who is on the telly, let's be honest, too much. But to see your daughter doesn't like him.
She doesn't like Philip Schofield.
Because she's a homophobe.
Or pigeons.
Actually, him coming out, and this may not, this probably wasn't even his intention, will do a lot of good. It might do a lot of good for a 10-year-old boy who's gay. It might do a lot of good for a 50-year-old dad or two that's gay. It might do great for a girl. It can actually be really good. In a world where two gay women have their faces smashed in because they won't kiss on a bus, this stuff, unfortunately, is still really important. It's still really important. Being gay has not been normalised as much as perhaps everyone thinks it has, or as much as you
think
it has.
I'm glad you're cool with it, though. That's good.
Yeah.
The other thing is, he's a big family name, and I expect he felt like a fraud.
Yep.
And he was just waiting to be found out all the time. You can't live like that. And also, while young men and women are still killing themselves or self-medicating with drink or drugs because they feel ashamed of the way they are and they can't change the way they are, I think it's really important that that stuff like this happens.
Me coming out as bisexual was because I felt I had to do it, right? It took me, you know, it was last year. I was 46 years old, lived with it for 35 years, full of shame and guilt, and a lot of my drug taking was around that and doing behaviour that was causing me shame when actually it should have been giving me pleasure. And I told some close friends and family, and then I just thought, well, do you know what? I think I need to say it publicly. I need to say it publicly to make it real, and then it's out there. And then there is no question, there is no hesitancy. It's like, I'm bi. That's it. It's done. It's out there. It was important to me.
It also takes it away as a weapon for someone else. Say someone else who knew what had been going on. Yeah. I don't know what Philip Schofield's history is, and I'm not suggesting that, but what I'm saying is you take the power back. I think it's important.
I think it is important. But as long as you're cool with it, and that's great. Unfortunately, not everyone is. Let's go to Margaret. Good evening, Margaret.
Good evening, Ian, and good evening, Catherine.
Hey, Margaret.
She said good evening. Yes, hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
It is exactly the same phone call I was having with Diane Morgan about 5 hours ago. Literally 20 minutes of me and Diane Morgan going, hello, yeah, Yeah, can you hear me? I can hear you. That's why I'm responding to you. So, yes, we can hear you, Margaret.
Okay. Now, that guy that phoned up and you said that you couldn't have a decent conversation with somebody who'd had three beers.
Not what I said. Not what I said at all. Try again.
Right. What did you... Well, yeah, tell me what you said.
Well, no, you tell me what I said. You phoned up to comment on it. So what did I say?
You sound... very hyper, and as if...
That's how the show is. The show is... This is the show. It's up and down. I'm bulletproof. You've called in to pick me up on something I said, but yet you don't actually remember what it was I said, Margaret.
You're very aggressive tonight.
Not in the slightest. Anyway. I've just got a lot of thick callers who don't listen.
Yeah, and you've got to be right.
Well, no, I am right on this. I am factually correct on this. You have said that I said something that I didn't say. Would you like to try again?
Okay, let's put it another way.
Put it in the way that I said it. Use the at least the sentiment. Yes, you don't even need the right words. Just use the sentiment that I said.
Calm down and tell me what you said.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to tell you what I said. I'm very calm. I'm not going to tell you what I said because you phoned me up to pick me up on something you think I've said, but you don't actually remember what I said. Do you realise how silly that is?
This is what I thought you said. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you can't have a decent discussion mm-hmm. with somebody who has had more than three pints or have smoked a joint.
Okay, that's not what I said, but let's carry on. Because otherwise we could be here, we could be here all night, and this call's just about as dull as Jeffrey's.
Oh, great. And it's got to be dull if somebody disagrees with you.
No, I love disagreements, but I like intelligent disagreements, not really dull, monotone, boring disagreements. So let's get to the point quickly, because I've got a full switchboard, Margaret.
I don't think I'm going to bother with you this evening, Ian.
Okay, then. You want to put the phone down?
Yes.
Thank you, Margaret. Okay, let's go to David Babcock.
Oh, yes, it's not a bad night and the feeling's right.
Is this Margaret again? It's exactly the same voice.
I will tell you, I don't believe you know what you actually said.
Dave, listen to David. People are texting in. Tweet Kenmore, it's not what I said. Try again. David's obviously been playing flight simulators all day because he's coming and he's a little bit high. Got a little bit of a buzz going.
I'm not high. I've got coronavirus.
Oh,
Jesus! I'm so sorry, mate.
So I caught it from a chicken.
Is that not bird flu?
No, coronavirus. It comes from chickens, and if you've been reading the bloody news...
I thought it came from Chinese people.
That's racist.
Well, it's not, if it's true. Is it true, Kath?
Not quite.
Sorry, it was racist.
I think it originated in Wuhan, and they're concerned...
Wuhan!
And they're concerned...
When I feel heavy metal! Yeah. Wuhan!
And they're concerned about its spread, but...
It came from chickens.
Well, stop having sex with chickens.
I'm not having sex with chickens. You shouldn't tell me that.
Why shouldn't I tell you that?
Oh, God,
I'm just tying you up in knots with words. Words are my weapons, and I'm destroying you. David, what have you called in for, mate? What's your interesting point?
To be honest, I just want to fill the air so no more boring knobheads can ring.
Well, there's one on line six.
Oh, who is it?
It's you.
Why would you... I'm your friend.
Oh.
Whoa, buddy. Whoa. You were on Sky News today. I tweeted a picture of it.
No, it wasn't. Why, well, you're not listening to me. I've got coronavirus.
Okay, well, what do you... Okay, and?
Is that not big news for the show?
Not really.
You don't care?
You have to stay indoors and not speak to anyone for 2 weeks.
I've been in quarantine.
Was it nice?
No, I've got people walking around me with big masks.
Well, that's not quarantine if people are walking around you.
No, but they're wearing big masks.
Yeah, still not quarantine.
Yeah, they're in big masks.
Oh, okay. Saying it again.
Here's the thing I don't get. You know the cloth masks that everyone's wearing?
Yeah.
That won't do anything, will it? Because, germs can go through cloth, can't they? You need, a filter. like a gas mask from a post-apocalyptic nuclear movie. Beep.
Also, beep. That's all well and good, but if you're not washing your hands...
Kathleen?
Yes?
I've got some information for you.
Information?
Is it information I want?
The masks will stop droplets of spit which carry the diseases.
Yeah, but so do dirty hands.
Have you had more than 3 pints or a joint? Because this is dull as, mate.
Here's what we're going to do.
We're going to go through the big news stories of the day and we're going to get Babcock's... Go on, make a snappy title out of this, Kath.
Mm.
Oh, we've got Babcock's viewpoint, but you can probably do alliteration. Babcock's... No.
The Babcock News.
The Babcock News. Okay. The Babcock News. David, are you ready?
It's Babcock.
Babcock.
Okay.
It's David Babcock. And here is the news.
Bong.
Philip Schofield is gay.
You want my opinion?
Yeah. Okay.
That was it.
Go on. You've got to do the bong.
Bong. Teenagers make 10 grand selling face masks for coronavirus fears.
Well, what, in China?
No. British teenagers have made loads of money selling... You missed a trick. Selling face masks.
Bong! Donald Trump is found not guilty.
Bong!
Got to be quicker, David.
Wait, sorry.
Got to be quicker. Go on. Kath?
Bye.
No, Kath, you missed it. Kath?
Can't remember any more.
Bong!
News.
Harry and Meghan are seen out in public for the first time.
Bong!
Prince Andrew is going to have the bells at Westminster Palace rung on his 60th birthday.
I watched his interview.
Bong! But he's not going to be an admiral.
Bong! Yeah, David Babcock's a knob.
Come on.
Bong!
Is having sex with infected chickens.
I didn't have sex.
Bong! David Babcock's making babies with a Hoover.
I've not made babies with a
Hoover. Bong! David Babcock uses his hat for nefarious purposes and it's all sticky. What?
Bong!
David Babcock is my least favourite caller.
Oh.
Even Jeffrey.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening.
What can we do for you tonight, Anne?
I can't even believe what I've just heard on your recordings that have given me on my phone with the absolute mentality of... I'm sure you must know the recordings that are given.
No, I've absolutely no idea what the recordings are.
Well, they were crazy, beyond crazy.
In what way crazy?
In that how they're viewing a person calling your radio station.
Okay, as I say, I don't know what they are. Would you like to tell us, or would you like to make the point that you called up about?
The point I rang up about was about Philip Schofield. I'm 65 years of age.
I didn't ask, but thank you.
I've followed Philip through, you know, him being young and so forth and being very acceptable on the TV and...
Yes, so you have a right to have an opinion on him.
I cannot understand why he has come out 27 years ago. I can... Please.
He didn't come out 27 years ago. He came out last week.
Well, he's been married for 27 years, so
yes.
He's been where he is.
When you said he was young and acceptable on TV, that implies that he's old and unacceptable now.
No, he's still acceptable.
Okay, right.
Me.
Okay.
I have worked in an industry that has a lot of gay people.
Oh,
today.
What industry was that? Male escorts?
In the hospitality.
Ah, a lot of gays
so
there, yes.
If you go and work in hotels, on cruise...
Full of gays.
...and things, please don't say it that way, because that's been disrespectful.
To you,
they're
yes.
people that you work with, that you're close with.
Right. What's the point about Philip Schofield? I don't understand.
This morning, I saw Piers Morgan on TV with Joan Collins in...
Right.
America. And a conversation went off and so forth. Then Joan Collins said, we all know that he's gay.
Right.
So obviously...
Well, not everyone did know. I've worked with Philip. I didn't know he was gay. So not everyone did know.
But Joan did, and well, Joan looked at the people that Joan, were on the TV.
Well, Joan's saying that she did. We don't have it. I've worked with Philip quite a few times. I didn't know he was gay.
Because probably you're not personal enough to him, and he must have had personal then. If she
you don't know. Sometimes people say things for effect. But what's your point? You wish he'd come out earlier or later, or hadn't come out, or what?
Please don't think that I'm being disrespectful.
Oh God, no, I don't think that for a second. But
and as I say, I've had one of my daughter is 37 years of age, and she has a young guy that I have known since he was four years.
Let's focus. All. I don't understand what you're saying about. I don't understand what you're saying about Philip Schofield. Just trying to get you back.
Then obviously he isn't gay, is he?
Who isn't gay?
Okay, then. Can you put to me what gay is? Because when I was growing up, gay was you were not attracted to women. You were attracted
to men. Yeah, it's a little bit more. So you're saying he's not gay?
Well, he's had 27 years.
Living a lie.
If we go into a deeper interview with his wife and everything, have they had sex?
Dear God, Anne, why are you obsessed about whether Philip Schofield has had sex? No one has brought up the question of him having sex with a woman. Why are you interested in that? It
comes down because he is portraying himself to be something that he isn't.
And what is your problem? First of all, what gives you the right to tell Philip Schofield or any human being what they are? What gives you the right?
It doesn't.
Well, then stop talking. Right, stop. No, you don't have, Anne, you don't have a right in this. You have zero right in this whatsoever to say whether Philip is gay or straight or bi or pan or anything. You know, some gay men, you know, some, let's do it. You
know,
it's got nothing to do with you. You know, some gay men are able to have sex with women. That happens. That happens. If you want to get down to the basics, that can happen. There are gay men that have fathered children with women. That happens. Does that answer your question, Anne?
I have actually been out with a gay man.
I couldn't give a toss.
But don't be disrespectful.
Well, you're being disrespectful. Because you're talking absolute cobblers.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Your take on it. That is your...
Yeah, my take is you're talking cobblers. Great. And I came out as bisexual last year. What are your thoughts on that? Anything?
Then... how far are we going to take this? That then, okay, I will be respectful to you that you are bisexual, that you will go with one or the other. Do you know how far this will go? Because this has actually came up last year.
Are you upset that he didn't say he was bisexual? Is that what you're upset about?
No. No.
So you'd rather he carried on lying about his sexuality? Or you don't believe that he's fancies men?
How far are we going to push these... Well, you know what? This came out...
The gay agenda. How far are we going to push the gay agenda? Is that what you're talking about?
In the 80s,
And when I'm talking, they can't hear you. You're rambling. I get the feeling you're just shy. Just say it, right? Are you saying how far are we going to push this gay agenda?
I'm saying when we...
Because I can tell you what the answer to that question is.
No, when we go further, listen, please.
You're talking rubbish, and you're sounding like a bigot, so I'm really hoping you're going to say something that convinces me. Well, this is Anne, this is it. I'm hoping you're going to say something that convinces me you aren't a bigot and that I've misunderstood.
He's the celebrity. He's made an issue. He's come out.
He hasn't made an issue.
Who has everybody patting his back, doing this, doing that. This now has become acceptable
Being gay has become acceptable, yes. Hallelujah. It used to be illegal when you were a kid. Would you still like it to be illegal?
It wasn't illegal when I was a kid. It was before I was a kid.
It was illegal in the 60s.
I was born in 54.
Yeah,
I was born in 54.
It wasn't legalised till 68, I think, off the top of my head. So it was.
But it was acceptable.
Okay.
It wasn't illegal.
So what,
they didn't put people in prison. It became illegal.
Okay, you tell Philip during that. So what is it? I don't understand what your worry is, that men on TV are talking about being gay.
Because you know what I think? I think he's trying to draw attention.
Oh, get lost.
To himself.
Get lost.
No.
Rubbish. Offensive rubbish. Was I trying to draw attention to myself when after years of torment and self-loathing,
no.
I came out and said I was bisexual?
No.
What's the difference?
I didn't know
What's the
you.
Difference?
I didn't know.
No, no, no.
You.
So the difference is, Anne, that you didn't know me. Yeah, I'm a celebrity, right? Tiny, tiny, tiny. I'm a G-list celebrity, right? I've been on I'm a Celebrity. I host a radio show, right? So are you? So it could be argued I was doing it for publicity.
I don't want to fall out with you.
Oh, it's too late, Anne. You have, because you are the bigot that I thought you were.
I am not.
Well, you are. You've said something bigoted.
I have friends and I've worked and I've still have friends and I have
I couldn't care less. It's like saying I'm not a racist.
Then you're speaking
But I know black people. Because you're a bigot.
You're
I do speak disrespect.
I am not a bigot.
Well, you've said something bigoted. You've said Philip Schofield is pretending to be gay to get attention.
No, I'm not saying he's pretending. I think he is. You know, the people before him that have come out and been ridiculed, he's actually insulting those people.
And I'm going to say goodbye because you're talking what I like to call bollocks. Thanks very much for your call, Anne. Bye-bye. 03444991000 is the telephone number.
Do you know what I heard there? A woman who is personally disappointed.
For the first time in about 3 or 4 years, I'm angry with a call. I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm angry.
He's not who she thought he was. She thought she knew him. She's
I don't really know what the point was.
No.
I don't know what she was saying. We know she's not a bigot because she knows gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's that sorted out.
A lot of them.
But he isn't gay because he's had children.
But if we carry on like this, who's carrying on like what?
She was so close to, say, pushing the gay agenda. And I'll tell you why we have to push the gay agenda. I'll tell you why. Gay agenda in inverted commas. I said it last week. While women are getting beaten up on the bus for not kissing each other, while gay men are getting murdered, there's a story we heard the other day when you were at my house and you came out in tears because you'd heard a story on the news about a gay guy was stabbed by two kids.
Don't even know whether he was gay or not.
But two kids. People are being murdered because of who they sleep with. So until people are not beaten up and murdered for who they sleep with, I think it's great for people to come out and say that they're gay.
Also, who could listen to that and go, yeah, I can't work out why he didn't come out sooner.
I don't know what her point was.
Personally disappointed. She didn't know you. Didn't matter because she didn't know you.
She didn't know me. But she knows Philip. When he was young and acceptable. I don't think he's gay. How dare you? How dare you? The only person who can say what their sexuality is that person. It's the only person that can do it. How dare you? The arrogance. And that's why I don't like this country. Calls like that. There's too many. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Roger is, of course, right on Twitter. Schofield must prove he's gay live on television. That's it. We need to see it. I need to see it with my own eyes.
I'm fine.
Before I believe it.
No, I'm
Daddy cool. Bear Cub says, and I thought this and I was going to say it, but then I just got so angry I had to get rid of it. You think that lady might have been angry because she always had a crush on Phil and now won't ever stand a chance? Yeah, it's possible.
That's what it felt like to me.
It's possible. But I guess I don't know what the point was.
Maybe not even a crush. Maybe just the idea that I know him. I have known him. I have seen him grow up before my eyes.
He's lied to me.
That's it. That's the thing.
That's not important. What's important is he lied to himself above everything else. That's important. And then lied, misled. Those are really strong words, actually, I wouldn't like to use in this. He allowed the lie that he told himself to influence his relationship with his wife and his kids.
And listening to some of the attitudes that are still prevalent now, remembering what they were like 20, 30 years ago.
Oh, when
are
he was
you
in,
surprised?
When he was in the broom closet? When he was in the broom cupboard, he would have been sacked. He would have been sacked as a kid's TV personality. And then we'd all be going, now, do you remember a guy called Philip Schofield? And he had like a gopher or so? We'd be doing that.
Also, let's think back to the time he was growing up in, right? And the time he was a young man in. It was all that flipping, don't die of ignorance, AIDS kills, AIDS is a homosexual's disease. The gays were absolutely outcast and stigmatised. And yeah, it was just an awful time to grow up gay. That story the other day about the... It was a young man and woman who got drunk and started on a man who was walking with another man. They didn't know whether he was gay or not, but they decided to use the F word to him and start a fight with him. And he ended up being killed. And the thing that really upset me about that was, when I was growing up, my gay friends were always told by their parents, do you know what? It's the older generation. It's your grandparents. Once they go, things will get easier. Oh, now the kids are starting.
It's coming back. Thank you very much. Sally says, I just started listening at the how dare you part. I've never listened before, and the presenters are now all heroes. Thank you, Sally. That's very kind of you. It's normally whimsy. It's not always as robust as that.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Ian.
Richard, what have you got for us tonight, please, sir?
I just was listening to your show, and you've got some right nutters who come on here, don't you?
It's always very dangerous for a caller to say that at the start of their call, because we don't know...
We don't know where we're filing you yet, Richard.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, I'm not nutter. I happen to be a gay man, like Mr. Stone.
Oh, God, what? You've disappointed me, Richard!
Where will it end?
God, why do you promote sodomy so much?
Because in your world, it's fun. You know?
By the way, I'm so proud of myself for that answer to Ken earlier on. Why do you promote sodomy? Yeah, because it's fun.
If you want to give Ken my number, he can ring me and I'll tell him why.
Okay. Oh, you don't want that. Go on, Richard.
Everyone gets leads their life however they want to lead it. And I've got no problem with Philip Schofield. Don't know him. Never really given him much thought over the years. But I just... asking myself a question, why now? Why is it now he suddenly decided to come out?
Does it matter?
Well, there's usually a reason why people come out.
No. No.
My own opinion. It's just my own opinion.
I can do is talk about my experience. And when I came out as bi last year, the reason was it was too painful to keep it. That was the reason.
And that was your reason.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's
but
a
that's
very...
what Philip Schofield said, that he was having sleepless
that's
nights.
That's a tenuous reason. You can always look for a little scandal or a little naughtiness. And I know there are rumours on Twitter, but I don't believe rumours on Twitter.
No, I'm not.
But you say this has to be a reason. Well, the reason I did it is because I'd had enough.
And I totally agree. I have the same reason when I came out, because I just had enough. But what I worry about is when you see celebrities coming out, it's usually because there's something behind them coming out and they're being forced to come out.
Well, no, as I've just told you... That has happened. But as I've just told you, and I class myself as a very minor celebrity, like GH on the scale, mm-hmm. and I'm not in the same league as Schofield in any respect... But I have a little bit of press with this radio show, and there was still a little bit of interest in me last year after the jungle. There was no backstory,
which is the point. Not the point I'm trying to make, but the reason why I rang in was to make sure that someone isn't being forced to come out because there is someone there waiting to sell a story. Or there's someone there, sort of like threatening to out the man.
Yes, that would be terrible if that was the case.
And I don't think that's a very healthy thing to do. And being forced to come out is never a good thing, because there's always hurt on a lot of people's sides. So his wife, his kids, himself.
Well, that's what makes me wonder whether that can be the case, because his wife has known for a while. His children are all right. They're expressing support publicly, which they didn't need to do. His in-laws are all right with it. His mother is all right with it. This doesn't feel like news to them.
No, I would say he's probably told them a long time ago. But, you know, I mean, in my own, just my own view is that the world has changed a lot in the last 10 years. And even 10 years ago, he could have came out if he wanted to. And no one
would... You can't say that because you don't know. You don't know.
We're just guessing. His kids would have been doing their exams at that point.
People don't not come out just because society is more or less accepting. There's so many factors. There's so many factors in it. There's shame. There's self-loathing. There's confusion. There's job security. There's family. There's so many factors. So saying he could have come out 10 years ago, he could have done. He could have come out 2 years ago. He could have come out in 5 years' time. We don't know.
Yeah, but you seem to be missing the point of what I'm trying to make.
I don't think you're explaining it very well. Try and explain it a bit better.
Hey, what I'm trying to say is, if I'm allowed to, is that he could have came out 10 years ago and probably, in my own view, nothing really would have happened. It would have been the same sort of...
You don't know where he was in his life, then.
Let him finish this, because I want him to make his point. Because I think he's...
And I can't make my point if you two keep talking over me.
All right, Richard, make the point, but try and make it succinct, because at the moment it's sounding like nonsense.
Well, I must be in the same list as everyone else on here.
Completely. Make the point.
The point I'm making is that I wanted to make sure, from my own point of view, is that he wasn't being forced.
Okay, how are you going to make sure?
Because, you know, as you said, there's been stuff going around on Twitter.
Who cares about rumours on Twitter? How are you going to make sure he hasn't been forced to come out?
I'm not going to make sure.
You just said, Richard, we're using words here. You literally just said, I want to make sure he's not coming out because of this. So he's hung up. He's hung up. You're using words. Words are all we've got, right? And when we can only communicate with words, as we can on a phone-in radio show, there's no body language, you have to be specific with your words. So when you say something like, I want to make sure he's coming out for the right reasons, when you are then picked up on that, don't go, oh, no, I didn't mean that. Say what you mean. He obviously couldn't come out 10 years ago because he didn't come out 10 years ago. He obviously couldn't have come out 5 years ago because he didn't. He obviously could come out last week because he did. And I have to say, this will get me in trouble, but I'm going to say it. Just because you're gay doesn't mean you're right on this. Doesn't mean you're right on this. You don't get an extra pass just because you're gay. It doesn't mean you're right. I will not let people throw around lazy guesses on this because we just don't know.
And also, in reference, and there have been a number of references tonight to the gossip on Twitter, there was no gossip on Twitter until he came out.
And I don't believe... I've been gossiped about on Twitter. Let's see what happens there, but I don't believe it, right? So we have to go with what we've got. And I'm sorry if you felt hard done by there, but I really don't like... I don't like it when callers come on and are rude about other callers as an opening gambit. It doesn't win, doesn't get any points from me. It makes me sit back and fold my arms and think, go on then. How are you going to improve on this? Because everybody that phones up thinks they are making a decent point until they get caught out.
And also, believe it or not, if this is your first time of listening, this is not an argument-heavy show normally.
It's a show full of whimsy and love.
But I feel like we've got a responsibility to challenge people on this if they're coming on and saying things that are generalisations, allusions to rumour, guesses.
Of course we are.
Because we're talking about a man's life, and not just one man's life. Other people are listening to this and it could make a real difference to them.
Oh, God, there will be men in their 50s who are married and are gay listening to this. I guarantee it. And they will be watching what happens to Schofield and going, should I? And if it goes too much in one way, they'll go, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. If it goes too much the other way, they're going to carry on being miserable and living a lie forever.
the point with Philip Schofield being a kind of face of Mr. Saturday Night, basically, is that he has the power, whatever happens to him, has the power to start conversations in living rooms, really important conversations in living rooms that could change people's lives.
Seem to ignore, here's the thing, and you're probably getting bored of this, and I get it, right? I get it. But I can only really share my experience on coming out as bisexual last year. It's all I've got. It must be boring for you. I'm still kind of trying out these shoes and breaking them in a little bit and seeing if they fit or if I need to get bigger shoes.
That's not a euphemism.
No. But completely dismissed, there has to be a reason why I came out. Well, I came out because it was too painful not to. It kind of just reached the bursting point. Yeah. I get that, but there has to be a reason. Well, there wasn't in my... I wasn't being blackmailed. There weren't rumours about me. There was nothing. It was too painful to not say the truth.
Here's something maybe everyone could understand, right? Philip Schofield, by coming out, wasn't just coming out, was he? He wasn't a single man with no kids. He was a married man. So it was, how do you tell your wife? How do you potentially break up your marriage? Maybe he couldn't have done that 10 years ago. He didn't know what was going to happen, did he? Maybe he couldn't have done it 5 years ago. Everyone chooses their time, and it's a really personal thing.
Best thing I ever did. Oh, God, I wish I'd done it 20 years ago. I didn't, because I was sad, and I was confused, and I was full of shame, and there was abuse, and there was... I didn't know.
You weren't in the right situation.
No. I wish I'd done it 20 years, because when I did it, the weight dropped off. I didn't. I did it last year. All right, let's face the future. Let's move on. 03 44. If you're listening for the first time, honestly, it's not normally like this. It's full of whimsy and charm. It's been a little bit fractious today. But being gay does not mean you are right on this. Being straight does not mean you are right on this. There is nuance. There is subtlety. There is so much that we don't know. And do you know what? Ain't none of our business. It ain't none of our business. I don't want to know, there's a phrase, I don't want to know the ins and outs. I don't want to know that. Of course, there's that part of me that was brought up on tabloid papers in the 80s that makes me think, ooh. But that's a tiny little part of me that isn't really me. The real me is a bloke that thinks, I hope this works out for everyone. I hope everyone can find peace. That's it. And that means that the details are none of my business. 03 44 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Have I got this right that some people aren't having Chinese takeaways because of the coronavirus?
What?
Someone just tweeted that there was a story about a Chinese guy being racially abused because of the coronavirus. I can get that. But I'm sure I read somewhere or heard somewhere that people aren't having Chinese takeaways because of the coronavirus. Now, that's dumb.
Yeah.
But it doesn't surprise me because a lot of people are dumb. And next week when I'm off, I'm going to go to, not the one that delivers because I'm not so keen on them. Do you remember once when I ordered a Chinese meal from there and then they said, oh, we don't take card payment? I went, oh, in that case, let's forget it. An hour later, a Chinese meal turned up at my door and I said, no, I cancelled it. Oh, well, you've got to pay for it now. I said, well, no, I don't want it because I have pizza. But next week, I'm going to go to the Chinese restaurant and I'm going to make sure I shake their hands and I kiss them fully on the lips.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
How are you?
I'm getting by. What are you got for us?
Yeah, sorry to go off the corona, but just wanted to say I'm 60 years old.
Happy birthday!
I've been bisexual all my life.
Yes, mate.
And I've been married. Had girlfriends. Had a couple of boyfriends.
Yes, mate.
I came out to my family a year ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, the flack! I tell you, the flack. I just...
Mainly my
son and my two daughters.
Oh.
My parents were fine. My parents are in their 80s. They just said, well, absolutely, that's fine. Don't worry about it.
Right, but yeah. Your kids...
Didn't even think about it. It wasn't even an issue. My kids, oh, God, the flack, Ian.
Why?
The flack
why?
I had.
Why would you get flack? Did they think that you've been lying to them?
I think because I actually came out on Facebook... And I didn't tell them. I mean, maybe it was my fault. And whoever comes out, I mean, Ian Schofield did it on TV.
But But he did it to his family. Listen, I'm not judging you. People do it how they do it. But he did it to his he told his family first.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, that's wrong maybe, but the flack I've had, you know, ultimately it was a year ago, and it's we've come to some conclusion about it, and we're okay.
Well, I hope it works out for you guys.
It does, but I mean, I don't know. Sorry, I've just been listening. I don't normally ring up, and I've just been listening to it, and I think, you know, judgment and, you know, why. But, you know, I'm still their dad. I'm still a grandfather.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm in a relationship with a woman now.
It changes nothing about how much we love our kids or those around. It changes nothing, does it?
It doesn't. And that's been my issue with them, me telling them that, I'm still your dad. I'm still the grandfather. You know, I love my kids, and I must admit, I've had a couple of people, because I've said I'm bisexual. I've had a couple of issues with a few people, not family, that have said, "Oh, they've leaked into paedophilia and wow. boys and children," and that's really hurt. Really, really hurt me.
Yeah, of course, because you know, there is no connection. I mean, there's no connection.
You know, I'm not a paedophile. I'm not.
Of course you're not. You don't even need to say that.
They picked it up and they put it to me. And it caused a huge amount of grief with me. That someone would see me as that kind of individual.
Yeah.
Of course not. But what I'm saying is that, you know, we come out. I could have come. Well, all of my partners, be it girlfriend or boyfriend, mainly girlfriends, to be honest, have all known that I'm bisexual, and they've been absolutely happy. Even my wife knew about it. It was fine. It wasn't an issue. You know, and I've girlfriends that have been bisexual as well, and a few boyfriends.
So when you kind of came out publicly...
Yes.
Did you feel better?
I thought I would feel better, but it actually made me feel... awful.
Oh, mate.
It made me feel absolutely awful, and I went through quite a period of thinking I shouldn't have done this, because everyone said to me, you should have spoken to me first and not done it publicly. But I did. For whatever reason, I did, and I did it publicly.
Listen, I don't necessarily... Let me choose my words really carefully. That's not how... Well, it's not how I did it. I've not had the conversation with my kids yet, because they're too young, but at some point I will. But that's not how I did it. But I did go quite quickly from telling a few people very, very close to me
to saying it
on the radio. Yeah. But I did tell... But that's how you did it. That's how you did it.
And, of course, now my children... It's been a year or so now. All my children accept it. They love it. They love me.
And that's it.
It's absolutely fantastic. But what I'm trying to say... is that anyone out there that needs to say, I am this or I am that, don't keep it in, just say it.
But you and I both know that it's not as simple as that. Waited till I was 46, you waited till you were 59.
Absolutely.
It's not as simple as that. And I wish I'd done it 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
And I wish I had as well.
Yeah, I couldn't. It would have made life so much easier and so much less painful, but I couldn't. I couldn't do it.
But what I had to convince my children and my family was that I'm the same person as 20 years ago, 30 years ago, than I am now. Nothing changes.
Nothing.
My sexuality has always been the same, but it doesn't make me a worse person, a worse father, a worse grandfather, a worse friend. It doesn't do anything.
Peter, it's nice to talk to you. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Let's go to first-time caller, David. Evening, David.
Hello.
Hello, David.
Yeah.
Hello.
David.
Hello.
David, I'm from... what do you want to talk about?
No, you called... Hang on, is this David Babcock?
Yeah, why didn't you know it's me?
Jesus, Amy, I told you not to let this guy through.
It was first time caller, David.
Amy, I told you not to let this guy through, and you've just been through, and this is
rude. I've been to a funeral tonight.
Tonight? A nighttime funeral?
Yeah.
Well, no one gets buried at night.
Vampires,
innit? Oh! No, vampires get up at night.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
It wasn't. No, he wasn't a vampire.
Okay, who gets buried at night time?
Chucky.
Chucky Egg?
No, my Chucky, my favourite chicken from
From the chicken, David, for those that don't know, David is, well, he used to be a ghost hunter. He doesn't really talk about that anymore. He now works as a chicken sexer, which I guess may tie in with what we're, are there gay chicken, are there lesbian chickens?
If they were, it'd be none of my business.
Exactly. What goes on in their coop is up to them.
Yeah, it's very sad. It's very, very sad affair.
The lesbian chicken affair?
No, the Chucky. Chucky funeral.
Death of Chucky.
Chucky. Well, what happened?
Well, as you, I think I rang up at the time. She exploded.
Oh. How?
She'd been backed up. I mean, usually we have methods if you get a bit backed up with eggs. But she had quite... Oh... I didn't think I'd go.
Come on, mate. Don't worry. No one's judging you.
She.
I am a bit.
Had...
Me too, actually. It's pathetic.
Come on, guys. This is. I'm not. I wouldn't do you like this.
I know you're not doing a thing. I know you're not doing a thing. Sorry.
She'd been struggling to lay for quite a while.
Tell me about it.
And she got quite backed up, and I think we're up to about. A fourth egg that was lodged.
Is the best technique then to blow through the mouth or suck through the cloaca?
No, what we do is we have got a machine if they get stuck in the bum.
Plunger.
We've got a machine. Sorry?
A plunger.
No, it's easier than that. We've got a machine that we don't. And if you can't, you can actually grab it. We just use our mouths.
Oh.
Because it's a soft.
Okay.
Recess.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So she died. She exploded because she was bunged up with egg. Egg bound, I think, is the technical phrase.
Pretty much.
And you buried her.
It's been a while, and she was starting to stink.
Yeah.
So we thought,
like this call.
Let's bury her. And I said a eulogy.
A what?
I said the eulogy.
Okay. What did you say? Would you like? Could you repeat it for us now?
A few words.
Yep.
Chucky, you were more than just a chicken. You were my best friend. I'll never forget the night that you exploded and your beak flew past my face like a bullet. God rest you. And then we just chucked her in the bin.
And then, gosh. And then, so just do that, I want to try and recreate the power of that moment, okay? So if
when
you could,
she exploded?
No. Oh, God, no. I would hate to take you there again. So if you could just do the last few words, the last couple of lines from that eulogy, and we'll recreate the scene. Away you go.
I'll never forget the night that you exploded and your beak nearly took my face off. But now you never feel pain again up there in Chicky Heaven.
I sit and wait.
Oh God, you're going to get me going again.
My fate.
Oh, Chucky.
Do they know
the
places
Chucky.
Where we go when we're gray and old?
Oh, Chucky.
I have been told
you didn't have to explode. Why have you done it, Chucky? The wings were unfolded in every direction, which way and loose. Thoughts running through my head, and I feel that love is dead. I'm loving Chucky in bed, and through it. Oh, Chucky. God rest you.
little chuck chuck. Oh, dear. She won't forsake me. Oh, Christ. I'm loving Chucky and Ben.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. Late Night with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night. It's a phoning show. We'll take, like, phone calls. We'll argue. I don't know. Just listen and see what happens.
Late Night with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Rachel's actually been doing research during the news, and she's really killing the vibe.
Oh, Rachel! You wait after school.
Rachel's found the government guidelines on flying flags. She's quoted, and I've just had a quick glimpse at it, it's right. She's quoted from the UK document, the UK government document, flags which do not need consent, any country's national flag, civil ensign or civil air ensign. So that means you can't... Rachel! You've ruined their argument.
I mean, they say that, but I bet it's not true. Will be the response.
And now Matt Wheatley is going, I knew exactly what it was, hence why I chose this article. I could have picked from loads, but I've seen this before and I knew Ian would jump straight on the proposal aspect. Bullshit. It's what I'm hearing there, Matt. So why would you post that knowing that it was flawed? I mean...
Is that the Lincolnshire one that was from the 1st of April?
Yes.
Yeah.
I posted it because I knew Ian was so good that he would spot that it was nonsense straight away. And I'm on his side. I'm a big fan. Loved him in the jungle. All those strawberries. Damn you, Rachel. And Rachel very funnily posted something else earlier on. It was about people helping. She said, there's things to be proud of. It's Britishness. People helping each other out. She's like a flood or something. I can't quite remember. And then she tweeted a few minutes later, I've deleted that. That's not Britishness. That's just good manners. Well done. Rachel is really... Rachel gets the show. Rachel may be the only person in the country that gets the show.
Because here's the thing. The Americans would claim that's the great American spirit. You know, community, kindness, thoughtfulness, helping your fellow man.
Yeah. You know...
it's just the best of humanity.
Thank you, Rachel. Well, we've just found out... I just found out, you knew this, the lead singer from the Divinyls died.
Yeah.
The age of 53. MS and breast cancer. Breast cancer what killed her, unfortunately. So, there we go.
Still, what a song. Filthy.
So we're doing the last hour of the show. No phone calls on the switchboard, which is how I like it. We haven't had one thing to be proud of for being about being British. We haven't had one thing. The Beatles. And even that... Guys, even... Here's the thing. I lay these things out for you and I put little booby traps in for myself because it'd be so easy to phone up and say, well, the Beatles are problematic. You know, John Lennon was a heroin addict and a wife beater. I mean, it's so... I'm giving you this stuff, right? So you can phone up. I said the Beatles deliberately. A, I think they're the greatest musical force of the last 100 years, genuinely. But I also said it because I knew it was problematic. None of you... What am I doing this for? Too good for these people. Apart from Rachel.
Tell you what I like.
Too good for this, apart from Rachel.
What I really enjoyed about Britishness was when I took a Spanish boyfriend to see the Rocky Horror Show and tried to explain why lots of straight guys were there with stockings and suspenders on and flipping loving it.
Yeah, because it's fun.
Exactly. Is that British? No, just kinky.
But then Spain will have its kinks. What are they? You slept with Spain.
I slept with the whole of Spain.
Well, just half of it then. What are their kinks? Body hair? Do you like, when you're having sex with a Spanish man, do you like pulling his hair? I mean, the hair on his back.
Wow. Gosh, that's a bit racist.
I don't think it is racist. Yeah, it's xenophobic.
Okay.
So that's different.
Well, they're Latino, so they are a different
race. They're very hairy. That's not, well, hang on.
How do you know they were very hairy? One of them wasn't.
Which number
only
was
one
that?
Though. what would their kings be? Probably religious based.
Okay, priests. Padre Domino Sanctus Christus Patriarchy.
Let me think. What would be the thing?
You can't know. Even if you slept with 100.
I haven't.
No, I know. I know it's more than that. But if you had. We asked 100 Spanish men.
And they all knew Catherine.
What is your kink? You don't know.
I don't think they're. I don't know what it is.
Well, it could be. Okay. Well, the joke in America about British kink
is you're like being spanked.
You're like being spanked
because
with
it's
cricket bats.
Because it's a. But I think that's a particular strata of British person they're thinking of. They're thinking of the British gentleman who goes to work in a very responsible job during the day and wants to be mummied at night, nannied.
No, I think they think it's a public school.
Yeah, but that's not all of us. They think we all speak like that, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we've not found one thing. Okay, well, maybe we found two things then to be proud of being British. The Beatles and spanking. So we got two things.
Right.
We got two things.
We're doing all the work here, guys. Come on.
Come on. Otherwise, you're going to get spanked botties while we listen to Yellow Submarine. So we have two reasons to be proud of being British. 1 hour to go. The Beatles and spanking. Can you think of any others? We've poo-pooed the myth that you're not allowed to fly flags. We've destroyed that. Here's the thing. You still won't believe it. Those of you that want to believe we are not allowed to fly flags will not believe the evidence that Rachel has found for us. We need to stop. I don't even know who Rachel is. She's only just recently popped up on my timeline. We need to give her a salary.
What she is top of the class at the moment.
Yeah, go on. I don't know who that is. Who is that? It's not Stoke Poges, is it? No, go for that. Go for that. Groundhog Day, who's been quite mean to me on Twitter for the last few days, is now asking me a sensible question. I'm not going to answer it.
Oh, Groundhog, you spoiled it for yourself.
I'm not going to answer it.
What was the question?
Ian, if you could take all of your Beatles records with you to a desert island or all of your other records, which ones would you bring?
Oh.
I'm not going to answer
it. It's a good question, though.
Dave says the Spanish kinks would be El Kinks.
Los Kinkes.
Los Kinkes. Rey David and Loth Kinketh. I wonder, hang on a minute. I mean, sometimes you can...
Hey, do you remember ages ago you told me about a village in Somerset where there was a rubber-clad guy, a guy in a gimp suit wandering
about? I do remember that, yes, I do.
He's still at it, apparently.
Is he?
Yes. This is the Daily Star, and this is the way they're saying it. I mean, a rubber-clad pervert is still on the loose almost a year after he was first sighted in a sleepy Somerset village. Dubbed Gimp Man by fearful villagers.
By the way, I've got some great fun things in a second, but carry on with this excellent story.
The latex loon has leapt out on locals. Oh, they're loving the luzz here, aren't they? In Claverham, Somerset, several times. On almost every occasion, his escape before anyone could stop him. His escape. On almost every occasion...
That latex is hard to grab. If he's oiled it down, slips through like butter over a...
What
like
if he's left it dusty?
Butter. Yeah.
No, he's oiled that up. On almost every... He'd be like a bar of wet soap. On almost every occasion, he has escaped before anyone could stop him or even ask why he's terrorising the village. I mean, their answer would be... Abby Conroy, 23, says she was confronted by the man wearing fetish gear who said... She said he was grunting and breathing heavily. Well, he would be. He's got his zip done up. Abby said he was coming towards... Oh, hang on.
Get serious.
Yeah.
All right.
Coming towards him, touching his groin, okay. Grunting and breathing heavy.
I can save it. Introduce the kinks in Spanish.
Los kinkes.
Es como un río, toda la gente.
It sounds
nice.
Like him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Luces lejanas son como estrellas que cantan la amistad.
Ah.
Pero yo
what the words are.
No, but it's different. He's talking about far away light, shine like stars.
Introduce
singing.
The Kinks in Spanish.
Damas y caballeros, los Kinks.
What's he saying? What's he saying? There's lots of Lolas here.
Well, Lola's a very popular name.
Let's try this one. Do the Kinks in Spanish, please.
Aquí, damas y caballeros, un canción de los Kinks.
Busqué y no encontré el lugar sin poderte ver. Supe que tú estabas sola, la nana sola. La segunda vez sí te pude encontrar y al verte feliz supe que tu nombre era Lola, la nana la Lola, la nana la Lola.
Okay, this is, I need you to introduce what you think. I have the title here. I believe this is would be, I think I know what I'm saying. I need you to introduce the Kinks singing all day and all of the night in Espanol.
Damas y caballeros, os presento los Kinks con todo el día y toda la noche.
Oh, no, this is Sunday afternoon. It's called La Siestos a Sol. La Siestos a Sol.
Sunny afternoon.
Las siestas a sol.
No, it's not.
Las siestas a sol.
Asshole.
Las siestas a sol. Las siestas.
Las siestas al sol.
Al sol. Okay, let's do. Do all right, we'll do that again. Las siestas a sol.
Las siestas al sol.
Los Kinks.
Los Kinks. Los Kinks. They probably say.
Los Kinks. Si paros e calemoi, si pukestas e thanopla.
That sounds more Greek.
That's rubbish. There's so many of them. Hang on. I'm having the time of my life.
They're keen, you know. They like guitar bands over there.
And they can't write their own songs.
It's because the weather's too nice.
Let me do one more.
My theory is that, you know, lads in garages up and down the country are only in there because the weather isn't nice enough to go wandering around looking for chicks.
Me atrapaste.
Oh, you caught me.
Los Kinks, me atrapaste.
You trapped me. You got me.
Yo no sé lo que me pasó. Que no
Yo no sé lo que me pasó. I don't know what happened to me.
No sé lo que me pasó.
Los matemáticos. How do you say and?
E.
Los matemáticos. Los.
No, it's not. You don't.
Los matemáticos y me atrapaste. Rock and roll, baby. Los matemáticos.
Yo no sé lo que me pasó. Que no comprendo cómo me atrapó.
Oh, no comprendo.
Fue mucho lo que me buscó. Y hoy es el día en que ya me agarró. Yo nunca pensé amarte así.
Los matemáticos. No, how do you say
Los matemáticos.
Los matemáticos. You mean the mathematicians?
Yes.
Los matemáticos. Y déjà que hablé.
Let me speak.
Déjà que hablé.
Oh, let them speak.
Déjà que hablé.
Deja.
Qué importa que hablen de ti. Yo te quiero.
Lord, oh, it's an advert. Okay, one more. This is the rest of the show. Is the Kinks in Spanish? Hang on.
Los Kinks.
Los Hites y Los Hites y un hombre respetable.
Respetable.
Que fundo nadie y ni una chica se fijaba en mí. Hoy muchas cosas he logrado.
Don't quite work, does it?
¿Por qué razón?
de día y de noche he trabajado y siento satisfacción. Y ahora soy un hombre que les causa admiración, porque tengo mis millones y chamacas de a montón.
You've got to remember they're in the middle of a massive dictatorship at this point.
Y el mundo
this is
está
quite sexy. Yeah, yeah.
Soy todo un señor, de todo tengo lo mejor.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Just had a nice tweet. First time I've tuned in. This is the best show I've heard on radio for a while. Nice to hear something different for once. Love the chill style. That's very kind. Thank you very much. Tommy Robinson is my hero. And blop. 03444991000. You can still enjoy the show, but please, please don't pollute my timeline with your obscene rubbish. 03444991000. Let's go to Danny.
Hola, amigo, fuego.
What does he call me? What did he call me, Kath? Am I going to punch him in the face?
He said, hello, friends, fire.
Fire. I like that.
There was the only three words I know in Spanish, and fuego, that's because Renault made one. That's it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I also know come esta, but we're not allowed to ask that, are we?
Not really. It's not really any of your business.
No, good. None of my business. I agree with you completely, Ian, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. I've been gaming since 1982. I'm 49. I've never finished a game.
Game in my life.
I cannot do it.
I've started playing on my Twitch stream. I've got all the BBC games now, so I've been playing some of those. So I'm going to get Strikers Run 2. Yeah, it's great. My second computer, because I was ahead of you. But I've also got access to all of the Spectrum games. So next week, guys, if I do any streaming, there's going to be a lot of the old games going on.
I've still got an old Spectrum, but I've put an Apple Pie in. No, not an Apple Pie. That'd be wrong, wouldn't it?
It still sounds as crazy to me as the first thing you said, but I know you mean a tiny computer.
Yes. One thing I like about England is cats. Although my cats don't like me, that's one good thing. My cats like it here and they're safe.
But they have cats everywhere. Europe is swarming in cats.
No, my cats only speak English. They wouldn't work out in another country.
Okay. I know what you mean. But you go to, I mean, Greece and Italy, cats everywhere. They're rabid.
They run the place, though.
Yeah. They're full of diseases and worms and rabies and things. But
I was watching a bloke on YouTube yesterday. He's in, I think it's Korea, and he just walks around big parks, and stray cats come up to me, and they all come and sit on him, and at one point there's four stray cats sitting on him because he was warm. I thought, that's a lovely thing. No. I was watching that for about half an hour. No,
they were getting ready to eat him.
He smothers himself in bacon juice before he goes out.
I did wonder if he had any meat stuffed in his pocket.
A little bit of the old... Do you remember the little tubs of fish paste you'd get?
Chippums.
Yeah, and they would go in the... I remember they had labels that you could sort of unfold, and they were quite big, and they were only tiny, and that you'd put them in the, like, the little drawer in the fridge door. But why were they so small? Why would...
I'm guessing it didn't last very long.
They went off.
Yeah.
How many fish... get this, kids. Fish paste sandwiches.
They were gorgeous. You can get fish paste and meat paste.
But just the generic meat paste.
Don't
what
ask.
Meat is it? It's brown.
Well, it's pink, wasn't it?
Lips and bum holes. but yeah, that was... Can you still get them?
Probably, yeah. It's like cheap pate, wasn't it?
Yeah. And yet now we have the obesity crisis. I mean, guys, come on. We used to freeze... My mum had a yogurt maker. Right. And it used to make... horrible yogurt. Do you have a yogurt maker, Dan? Did your mum ever have one?
No, we had a bread maker that I didn't ever use.
Right.
I had a SodaStream. That's the other thing.
We had a SodaStream.
My mum used to make crap lollies.
I would love someone with a SodaStream now to make a fizzy cup of tea. I would love a fizzy cup of tea. That would be awesome.
I've put fizzy water in my Tassimo coffee maker. It doesn't like, I thought fizzy coffee, but all it does is, because of all the bubbles, it doesn't spurt the water out properly. It's like an old man going for a wee.
Does the heat burst the bubbles? I imagine it does.
You can hear it going.
The SodaStream was, it was a revelation, but you had to use, first of all, the canisters didn't last very long, but we'd use them for like 6 months after the canisters are gone, but you had to use... the SodaStream own brand syrup. So you would have cola and lemonade, and it was their own brand, and it was...
Not as good?
Yeah. The 70s were really knock-off, weren't they?
It's not very nice meat either.
What?
Well, I imagine. My gran used to have a pop man. Used to come round with a van full of glass bottles, and she used to keep him in the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose it was the coldest room.
This is a tweet into another show. Right, I don't know what the context is.
Who cares?
Send them back. No questions asked. Sooner the better. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a tweet. but
yeah, send them. I'd like to go somewhere warm.
I would like to go. If it's Jamaica, I'm jumping on that plane. Yes, please.
I'm going.
But you can still get SodaStreams. They're still around. They're still hawking that.
Isn't it a new generation one now where it's just water?
It's in 3D or something. I don't know. But fizzy pop is so cheap now. I mean, I used to like was we always had, and even though we never drank like whiskey and stuff, we'd always seem to have
siphon
the soda siphon, and of course you took it back to the shop and you got five pence back. So it was always, can I take that back to the, is that empty? It's not empty. Okay, so you'd always have a little bit of a fight with the old siphon, and then take it back to the shops for the five pence.
Ah, the olden days, weren't they?
Did you ever on a Saturday, before you were old enough to have a Saturday job, did you ever used to hang around Waitrose?
No.
Okay, I'm talking to Danny then.
I wasn't allowed off the close.
That you would hang around in the car park, Danny, and ask people if they wanted help pushing their trolleys to the cars so you could then get the 10 pence return when you took the trolley.
Was it 10p?
10p. It wasn't a quid then.
I remember them having those.
Yeah, we had it in Slough in Waitrose outside the observatory, and I remember doing it a few Saturdays and making about 50, 60 pence sometimes. But then the tough kids would come along and shoo you on.
Oh.
We weren't allowed trolleys in Huntingdon.
Willis says, this can't be true. In the 1970s, my nana had a device that made cream out of a block of unsalted butter. I'm going to take you at face value, because the unsalted butter is so specific that must be true. The 70s were just knock-off, absolute rubbish. Everything was bought from the market and was crap.
And you could never eat a pie safely. You never knew what was in it.
You never knew what we... Well,
didn't ask.
You didn't
care, really.
Exactly.
It was just meat.
Everyone now is so concerned with the red, green and amber.
Where did it come from?
Well, who cares? Does it taste nice? Beautiful. I'll have it. I'll have two, in fact. Thank you.
I still love a meat and potato pie from a chip shop. You don't really get them very much down south, but I love it.
Well, when we went to Manchester and we had that pie and gravy, that was really... Oh, Kath, put your skirt back on, please.
Oh, man.
But that was filth.
Yeah, but great, right?
Gravy.
Danny, did we get to the point of your call?
No, yeah, we did. It was about the number to be ashamed of, never finished the game. I've done nearly 800 hours on Skyrim, and I'm no better off than when I started.
I don't think you can finish Skyrim, though.
Oh, that's good.
There's no conclusion to it.
Before I go, we've got the same phone, the Honor 8X.
Beautiful.
Are you worried that the mouthpiece, the bigger phones get, the further the mouthpiece gets away from the ear, and then you're going to have to one day decide whether you want to listen or talk?
Well, Danny, the mouthpiece doesn't go to the ear, mate. I hate to break it to you, but if you've been putting the mouthpiece at the ear, you've been using it all wrong, buddy bing, buddy bong, buddy bang, bang, bang. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Amy, are you all right? We seem to be getting a lot of callers... that speak to you, and then you spend the time and effort in trying to call them back and put them on the air, and then they don't want to come on.
No, I don't know why they don't want to come on, but the one I just had wants to know how Nigel in Maidstone is doing.
Well, I cannot give that information.
Google
him. But are you okay? Are they not rude to you, are they?
No, not today.
Okay. Because I know one of the Sam is the young man who answers the phone sometimes. He's got very good in the last couple of months at giving it back when they're rude to him. I don't expect you to do that, Amy, but I would if you did. I wouldn't think any less of you if they are. Do they ever get rude to you?
On occasion, yeah. I usually just put the phone down.
Good. That's lousy. I'm assuming their problem is with me or with the other host that they're trying to talk to, but they take it out on you?
I mean, I can't really tell what their problem is half the time.
Mate, just think, there are some people that aren't good enough to even get on air. Imagine the show that Amy's hosting back there that no one hears apart from Amy. I want to hear that show. That's what I want to hear. The people that are too thick to know how to come on air, because we let everyone on. But some people are too thick to even get through that stage of being polite to the person who's answering the phone and letting them ring you back.
It's evolution in action is what it is.
I've just realised how incredibly dumb you have to be to not make it through our filtering system, which is Amy going, what's your name? I'll call you straight back. That's it.
You don't even have to tell us your number because we've got it.
Some people can't even pass that. I tell you what we'll do. For the last half an hour, we'll take calls straight to air, Amy. So you sit back, you relax. That might mean maybe we'll get a couple of the people that didn't make it through. 03444991. Jesus, how old is Roger? We had a proper old-fashioned rag and bone man regularly visit our street with a horse and wagon.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't have a horse and wagon.
Our milkwoman had a horse and wagon.
What, up north?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's different, though.
I'm talking 1985.
Yeah. I don't think we had a rag and bone man on a horse and cart. We had an open-back truck, open-top truck. I don't think we had a horse and cart. I mean, we had the coal man come.
The coal man.
What was the name? It was like two letters. It was like G.K. Chesterton or something, but it wasn't. It was, I used to come, we had a coal scuttle in the coal thing.
Did you have a coal fire then?
Coal bunker in the back garden. We had a coal fire, yeah. We had a coal fire, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I spoke to my mum the other day about me dancing on the coal bunker at my granddad's.
Oh, yeah.
And she said it never had coal in it. She said it was just where granddad would keep his tools.
Oh, if I were good enough, I would now be able to find the clip of you saying, can I dance, granddad, can I dance
if
on
I'm
the...
good,
let
can
me
I...
see if I can find it. Stay there, line one. Come to you in a second. Hang on, let's see if I can find it.
Who is it? What's going on?
Good morning, sir.
No, hang on.
I'd like to boss you, please.
Fanny.
Okay, hang
that's
on.
That's not me.
Can I have your charger, please?
Yeah.
Never.
Hang on a minute. It'll be worth it when we find it.
I like you like that.
You're a cocaine addict.
Oh.
No, I don't want to Google it.
Timmy me boots and ting.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Because it was broken. I dropped it.
No, I'm pretty sure the older cats learnt to jump on it to flip it open.
Oh, shit.
But you remember?
You're right. I bought a new bin. Exactly the same as the old bin. Because I broke the old bin, not even 2 years old. And I broke the old bin because I had to shake it upside down and then I smashed it. So the lid didn't shut properly. And recently, the babies have been going in the bin. But you're right, Lucky worked out how to jump on it and make it pop open.
Yeah, she did.
Balls. What a waste of money.
Could you put like spikes on the top or something?
Of the cat? Why would I do that? That's cruel. What a dumb thing to say. I'm so sorry, listeners. Let's go to Jerry. Good evening, Jerry.
Good evening, Jerry.
Listen to the band. Baby monkeys. Easy things like this.
It's Jerry. I thought it was like we had it. I hate to break this to you, Jerry. There's a new Jerry on the block.
It's okay. I'm past it now.
You're an old man.
I'm past it.
Not long.
I'm old man, getting old.
Why is there a weird echo on the line?
Because it's crap phone, it's Karen phone, it's crap.
Yeah. Crap phone is. How you doing, man? Not spoken to you for ages.
No, I'm not doing too bad. I tell you what's teaching me, I speak a bit better, even though I'm not doing well tonight. Alexa, because that's what's slowed down, just for an understanding. I speak clearly. Sounds like my speech a little bit.
You're speaking better than you have done for a while. I mean, it's still bollocks, what you're saying, but we can understand. We can understand that it's rollocks.
Well, when the noise can come up and come out of order, it's just, you know, something's bothering you. Something you don't want to hear, something's bothering you. It's in my Sierra, is it? I don't want you to worry about it, to get tested.
Get tested. Was he asking about my testes for?
I thought he said something about sharing, getting tested.
He wants to share my testes.
Mike Sierra, the finished alphabet, Mike.
Oh, Mike Sierra, MS.
Who's got MS?
You've been tested for MS before.
Oh, I was tested for MS. Yeah, I got tested for MS.
That's okay. I just didn't want to think that you got that.
I haven't got MS.
I just didn't care about you. That's all right, mate.
Yeah. That was ages ago. That was a while. That was a few years ago I got tested for that. Once I got tested for it, and they didn't really do a lot of tests. It just turned out I had my watch strap up too tight, so my arm was a bit numb. That was the first time. It's true, the watch was too tight, and my right arm was numb, and that's one of the signs, and it's my watch was too tight. And but then I can't remember why. Oh, it's because I was getting really bad headaches, and they did a brain scan, and I had like these white marks on my brain, which you can get if you've got MS.
They're lesions, aren't they?
Lesions, and so I had the lumbar puncture, and I had all of that. But it turns out it was probably just cocaine damage. It's nuts, isn't it?
Lumbar puncture. Oh, funny
thing. Oh, lumbar puncture.
Anal.
I wasn't laughing after the lumbar puncture. I was out of action for a week. Couldn't move. Yeah. I had to lie still.
A rectal biopsy,
ladies and gentlemen. By the way, great heavy metal band who are playing in London soon.
I think you're a good man.
Yeah.
Hi,
Kat. Hello. You're not going, are you? Because I've got to cut you off.
I'll stay on.
Off
you,
bum. Jesus, he beat me to
gets
it.
Gets you every time.
Beat me to it. Absolute scumbag. Let's go to Tina. Good evening, Tina.
You're very sedate today.
What's going on in the background?
Oh, I'm just digging the chocolate box to get some chocolate out.
Oh, is the chocolate box playing music or something? Because I can hear something.
Oh, I've got Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. What is it called?
Yummy.
Friends with Benefits.
You
seen it?
No.
Why haven't you seen it?
Jeez, I mean, if you were to ask me that about every film that I haven't seen, we'd be here for a long time.
Well, I won't then. Let's ask you about... we don't want to talk about rectal whatever that the man just talked about. Should we talk about fractured wisdom teeth?
Sure, go on. What's your experience with that?
I've got one now, mate, while I'm talking to you.
Unlucky.
Straight after my kidney infection. Unlucky. How unlucky am I?
Isn't that amazing?
Not really. Not really. I've been in excruciating pain, but I still endeavour to phone you at night. And I called you last night. No, I like to.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, if you're in pain, you don't... If you're in pain or not in pain, you don't have to.
When I'm in pain, I really want to call you.
Okay. We need to see if we can get some painkillers to this young woman. Why did you call last night? Neither of us were in.
I was driving, and I had to be on speaker, because you're not going to pay the £250 for me to go to Ealing to be retrained to not use my phone, would you?
That was the night before when we couldn't hear you.
Have you got no concept of time?
No, because I'm on painkillers and stuff.
Okay,
and
well, you didn't phone us last night.
Oh, yeah, I fell asleep. I was going to phone you, but I phoned Daryl.
We weren't in.
No, you weren't. Oh, that's it. I spoke to him. Jeez. I spoke to Jamie East. He's quite good, isn't he?
He's all right, yeah. Don't know him.
You don't know him?
No.
Don't you ever do a crossover with him when he stands in for other people?
No.
Oh, all right then.
No.
All right.
No.
Keep calm. He was good. I phoned Daryl as well. He's a nice young fella.
He's a sweetheart. I want to kidnap him and lock him up in a box and bury him in the garden and keep him for myself.
That's weird, mate.
No.
No, I want to do that too, Ian. Should we do it together?
Yeah, let's cut him in half. You can have the top half. I'll have the bottom half. We'll put him in a box and we'll bury him in our gardens.
That's very greedy, Ian. That's greedy.
All right, well, you can have the bottom half. I'll have the top half. As long as I get half of Daryl Morris in a box buried in my garden, I'll be so happy.
So would I, but I've got a garden, so can't we bury him in my garden?
No.
Because you're famous and on the telly and you'll get done for it.
I don't care.
I can say I'm mad.
Yeah. Here's the thing. People who say they're mad, you know what? They ain't mad.
Well, I'm not mad then.
There you go.
I'm not mad.
What is your life?
I'm not mad.
What is your life?
My life is quite cack at the moment, but I'm rolling with it.
That's all we can do, isn't it?
Isn't it? I'm coming up to 50 as well, Ian. You didn't know that, did you?
I thought that would have happened a few years ago, if I'm completely honest.
No, you haven't looked at my picture, because you wouldn't be saying that, because my next-door neighbour's 25.
Oh, God, no, I've seen your picture, and I still would have, yes.
Get out of it.
Said it was a few years ago.
You need to get out more, mate. That was 2 years ago. That was in my Zumba fitness days before I looked after my mum for 2 years and almost died, but I'm still alive.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So my next door neighbour's 25 and thought I was 27.
Okay, well, young people are often idiots. And he sounds like one.
I'm getting that when I go out all the time, Ian. I think you're jealous. I think you're jealous, mate.
Of?
Me. And my youth. My youthful look.
No. Okay.
No. You're 46-something, aren't you?
I'm 46-something, yes.
I thought you were much more, because I remember you in the Ali G... What was it? The 11 o'clock show day?
Yes, that was it. Yes, yes.
You were quite good on that.
I was not quite good on that. I was excellent on that.
I was going to say excellent, but you can improve on quite good, so I was going to say excellent.
You can improve on excellent, and I do every day. Every day I strive to improve. By the way, team, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock, twitch.tv/Ian Lee. I am watching every episode of the 11 o'clock show again. You're all welcome to come and join me. Last episode of Series 1 this Sunday.
How do I do that?
You go to twitch.tv/Ian Lee.
Will you be making me Twitch, though?
No. Oh, no.
Why? You're batting for both teams these days, Ian.
But even bisexual people still have standards.
Yeah, but you're greedy, man.
Okay.
Why do you get to be greedy?
That's a little bit biphobic.
No, it's not biphobic. I wish I was a little bit.
The saying you're greedy line is a little bit offensive to us.
Okay, we'll take it, mate. But I like
No, I won't. I'll call it out for what it is. It's a little bit unpleasant.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I don't want to be unpleasant.
Well, that's why I'm not making a thing of it. I'm just saying.
Okay, I like girls too, but I don't want to fiddle with them. So I'm not phobic.
I know you're trying to come across as charming and funny. You're actually coming across as a dick.
No.
You
Ian,
are.
Don't take offence. No. Like
I will take offence when you say stuff that I find offensive, and you're being offensive.
I don't want to be offensive.
Well, then I'm stop talking.
Okay.
Thanks very much for your call. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. We knew there'd be a point, Catherine. That may have been it. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I don't like that. Oh, you're greedy. Greedy. Bisexual. And also, when people say, I heard someone say this the other day on something. It was the straight man. It was a woman. Anyway, let's assume it was a woman saying, well, I'm not bi. I wish I was. But, well, you can be. You know, if can you wish you were bi? That seems an odd thing.
I think you just are or you aren't, aren't you?
I didn't like the tone of those jokes. I don't like that greedy line. I think, and I've probably said it in the past. We learn, and I think I was quite polite about that. But the fiddling, I don't fiddle with anyone. I bring them to thundering climaxes. That's what I do, and you don't do that through fiddling. You do that through technique. I don't know why I'm making eye contact with you, Kath. Sorry, that's a bit weird.
It's a bit awkward, mate. Yeah.
Now Amy's over there. I've got to look. Let me look at my my hall soothers. You do that through technique. You do that through skills. You do not do that by fiddling. Can I look at you yet? Hiya! I don't know. It's just, I just...
It's that thing of the assumption that someone who is bisexual is... not fussy, kind of loose morals, or that kind
but
of thing.
But listen, I get it was meant in good. I get that it wasn't meant to be mean. I totally get that. But I didn't like it, and I'm allowed to say I don't like it. And I thought I was said that very politely about the first bit, and then the second bit, you know, it kind of carried on. So we're all cool. We're all cool. But I just, you know, we're all cool. Just, you know, I'm learning. I'm still learning to say I'm bisexual. This thing last night, there was one of the guys there. Actually, he's a tech journalist. He's been on Julia's show, and I told him I was sorry about that. But we talked about Philip Schofield, And we were just talking about it, because he had kind of asked what this show was, and I said, oh, we've took that. He said, I don't understand. He said, I'm a straight man. I don't understand how a man can go all that long and only come out in his 50s. Did he only just realise he was gay? I said, well, it's different for... And he was asking genuinely. Mm-hmm. I said, well, it's different for everyone. Pause. Do I say this? Yes, I do say this. I came out as bi last year, and I still struggle, still getting very uncomfortable around saying that. And he, of course, he was cool about it. He went, oh, all right, what was that like? And I said, well, you know, it was fine, and it was, but it was, I kind of sort of always knew, but tried to ignore it, and then it just got too painful not to share it. And I still feel embarrassed saying it in front of you.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's just saying it in front of anybody.
Yeah.
Because it feels a little bit silly, and I feel I should go, well, here's my boyfriend now, and I still feel a little bit...
That's the thing.
Uncomfortable saying it.
That for a lot of people, the assumption is once someone comes out, it's because they're about to introduce their same-sex partner, right? Or
yeah.
That it's announcing some kind of feeding frenzy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a baby vampire. But it's not that at all. It's just about acknowledging part of your... life.
It's not about you, he said, indicating everyone. It's about me.
Yeah.
But I still feel uncomfortable saying it. And now I feel a little bit ashamed.
It's not your shame.
No, I know. I know all of that. Isn't that funny? But that's why I need to keep saying it. That's why yesterday I said it to this guy.
Yeah, because the thought was, maybe I shouldn't say it. Well, and that's the thing.
Yeah, that was the thought, is I'm not going to say it. But actually, we're having a conversation where it's relevant to say. He's asked a question that I have very similar experience about, so I can share my experience. And part of me just thought, don't say it.
It doesn't make you a spokesperson for everyone.
Oh, no, I am the spokesperson for the L's, the G's, the B's, the T's, the Q's, and the pluses.
Okay, that's a lot of responsibility.
That is a lot for all of them.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Now, when did the first Surviving R. Kelly come out?
This time last year we were talking...
No!
Yeah,
it was
remember?
A year!
We spoke to producer Tamara Simmons.
I was going to say 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was a year.
January.
We know loads of you watched the first series, or season, because we had Tamara on, the producer, and Kath and I... I'm obsessed with it, I think, downplays the seriousness of it. It makes it sound like you're watching, you're watching a box set. It was a horrendous documentary series, yeah, talking about R. Kelly, the singer, and his abuse of young women and girls.
Right. So in the first series, they heard from a number of women, including his former wife, giving testimony about the kind of conditions they were living under when they were living with R. Kelly. And a lot of those women had got together with R. Kelly when they were well underage.
And so now there is season two, uh-huh, is out, is coming out, it's about...
It's out. It's called The Reckoning. It was on Lifetime. I'm really staggered that this is not being picked up by one of the terrestrials.
I do not understand why this is not... like front page news,
yeah,
over here.
Because we're talking now, 40-odd women who've come forward basically telling the same stories about living with R. Kelly, about, being kind of charmed by him. Some of them were encouraged to stick around with him and spend time alone in the studio because they were going to further their careers in music. He said he was going to put his support behind them.
Now, season two is out. I haven't seen it. I've seen the first episode, but you've seen all of it?
Yeah, I've seen the whole thing.
Where does that take us?
Well, this time last year, R. Kelly was denying everything,
yes,
okay? And, you know, he'd settled with a number of women in the past. It had been a rumour, I mean, more than rumour, in the music industry. He'd been a joke back in the 90s.
Oh, of course, there was the video of him urinating on a 14-year-old girl that was doing the rounds, and somehow he managed to avoid conviction for that. And that was a gag. That was the punchline to a gag, is it R. Kelly having a piss?
And that video was circulating and people were laughing about it. And
yeah,
it's a girl, 14-year-old girl there. The picture's very different now. R. Kelly's now in prison awaiting trial. I believe that's going to happen in April on so many charges. We're talking sex abuse charges, the possession of child abuse images. They call it child pornography. It's not child pornography. They're child abuse images. One of the allegations made in this documentary is that he films everything. Yeah. And, you know, these videotapes could be the thing that undo him.
Now, we have a guest coming up. Now, you are at an advantage over me, is that you have seen the thing. So we, this gentleman that we're going to speak to now, just before we bring him on, and he's on the line waiting, tell me in the listening exactly who he is and what his role is in
this. So by the end of R. Kelly's time as a free man, there were two women left in his household, two women. One of them, Joycelyn, one of them, Azriel. Azriel got together with R. Kelly when she was 17 and she spent 5 years. And during that time, her parents were trying to get in touch with her. They were worried about her. They were concerned.
And there was no contact?
Very little.
Right.
They were hearing rumours. They had contact at the start. Well, I'll let Angelo, Azriel's dad, tell you.
We've got Angelo on the line. Hey, Angelo, nice to talk to you, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. You're in Florida, are you?
In LA right now.
Hey, but listen, before we get onto the heavy stuff, it's freezing cold and it's grey over here. What's the weather like over there?
It's warm, it's nice.
There we go,
nice
this time. Is it. We just needed to touch that LA sunshine. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, Angelo. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Catherine, go on.
We were both really struck, Angelo, with the determination and the dignity that you and your wife fought with, because it was a fight, wasn't it, for 5 years, to get some word about Azriel's safety, at least.
Well, this the thing, she's not quite safe yet. You know, if you look at it, if y'all are talk radio, I'm sure y'all see some of these relentless and idiotic people that follow and support this man and has no compassion to any of these victims, any of the families, and are brutal on the internet, trying to intimidate, threaten, you know, sabotage people's jobs, people's businesses. I mean, this is nonstop, and even though my daughter's out of it, it's more harassment and threat than I've ever witnessed. And me going face to face with all of them with him on the street. Went through this much.
Angela, we'll go back in a minute and talk about exactly what happened. But you mentioned the internet. I haven't seen this, but knowing the internet as I do, I'm guessing people are saying that it's Azriel's fault that she led him on, that somehow it's her, she's to blame, and that she's being rude about R. Kelly, and R. Kelly's a great singer, and we should just let him do what he wants to do. Is that the kind of stuff?
Exactly. You hit it on the head. And like any man, I don't care who it is and what creed, color you are, you're a man. Can't no child, I don't care if they 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, whatever their age is, can take advantage of a man. A man has to allow himself to be put in a predicament where he has to either pursue the young individual or shut it down. His preference is young women that he choose to do whatever he has to do to get their attention and win them over. And nobody is to blame for nothing that goes on. Not a parent, not a victim, not nobody. Until you blame him. We can't even have a conversation and thus you admit or anyone admit or at least identify that this man made men choices as a grown man, the same way he ran his music and the enterprise as a grown man. We're not going to take him outside of being a grown man now because he made bad business choices, and that made him now a pedophile involved in pedophilia, and he didn't know because he can't read or he can't do this. That's just excuses. You made success for 30 years. You provided for your family that you have no contact for the existence of them. So it's no excuse now that he has to face his truth of his pedophilia, and now everybody is forgetting all the things that he consciously did himself. Now they want to blame it's the kids, it's the parents, it's the friends, it's the enablers. It's him. He made the choice. He made the same logical choices for the enablers to say, you get paid this week or you're not getting paid. See, because if you function enough to understand that, you function enough to understand, no, that's not right. And listening to somebody tell you that's not right, that's a child. He got staff members that's going to court against him and gonna and let everybody know, the world as well, telling the truth that he knew these young ladies' ages and he still pursued it the way he pursued it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on him. He could have did what he was supposed to do, the God gift that he gave, the God talent he gave, to be a music messiah. And he fulfilled that, but he only fulfilled it for himself. You can't name three people that he bounced their career and made them phenomenal artists in the world. He wasn't there to sign my daughter. He was there just to coerce her into the boring part of the industry, which she never was. Never introduced to.
No, Angela, that was the introduction, wasn't it? That he was supposed to be taking her under his wing,
exactly.
And he spoke to you and your wife about all these amazing things he was going to do.
Exactly. It was simple. It wasn't a lot on him. He didn't have to put up and do all this mess that they got running around. He was never no money exchange. Any money that even was talked about was me offering him something in a business deal to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it was nothing. He never gave me anything, never tried to give nothing about it. It wasn't about that. My daughter already had a uprising career going. We just needed some credibility, people around. If we could have got a collaborator song or her to understand where she needed to go for the touring part, that's how easy this could have been. He saw my daughter not as the talent that she has. He saw her as another one of his victims. And he had to have. She was young. She met his demand. And that's what he saw. So he told us anything that we needed to hear with manipulation of my child. And that's how they finagled me and my wife for the first 8 to 10 months. But by then she was 18. So once she turned 18, that was it. He didn't need to put up the persona anymore. It was just cut him off, let's move forward. And now, you know, you got so many people that misconstruing my daughter's story because nobody knew my daughter got out. Nobody. Nobody knew. We had my daughter since November. Nobody knew.
Here's the thing, Angelo. We believe you. And we believe as we are, and anyone that questions, you know, that is throwing muck at that kind of thing is out of order. We believe you totally, and that's why we've got you here. Let me, how is Azriel now?
Azriel is good, man. Yeah? Azriel got a lot of good things, and I'm quite sure some of y'all major networks are waiting for the opportunity to get there and see some of the great things that she has coming up. Azriel is reconnecting with all her family.
Good.
This is all her nieces and nephews, which she has 7 of them. And, you know, they the things that she didn't have. You know, she's seen them as babies. Now they big. And, she, you know, it's overwhelming for her, you know, and it, for her to deal with the mental part of understanding that this man really lied to her. It's frustrating.
And does she, and I don't want to go into the sordid details of what happened, but she sees that now. She recognizes that she was manipulated and controlled and lied to.
All the way.
Good.
All the way. And she recognized it off of being able to watch the Surviving R. Kelly. I think what hit her was the second part of it when she saw a young queen that was a little younger than me, her parents, and she told the same exact story verbatim that he was telling her.
Right.
And that was over 26 years ago. So my daughter had to sit there and say, now how could this woman say the same exact thing that he told me? And this was 20-something years before she was even born.
At the end of that part two, it was left that with you telling the audience that she was home, but she was still supporting R. Kelly in her way. She was still supporting him. That's changed, right?
Because at that point, she didn't see the Surviving R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
She still haven't seen him.
Right.
It took a while. It took months
My daughter didn't come home and just, hey, she jumped back to Israel. It took months. It took a lot of professional situations for her to be able to understand what she'd been through. And then she had to realize that she was a true victim. She thought she wasn't. And then when she saw it, she talked about it. And that's what she's gonna announce to the world. She's gonna let the world know step by step. Everybody's gonna be able to see it. Everybody.
So those video clips that you saw, and they were some of the only times you saw your daughter during that 5-year period when she was estranged, where she's talking about how you sold her, she's fine, she doesn't know what all the fuss is about. She believed that back then.
Yes, she believed everything he said.
It must have broken your heart when she said she wasn't interested in music anymore.
I think what the part that broke my heart was that he infiltrated a bond that was between so sacred between me and my daughter and our family, that he wiggled a way in to make her believe he could love her more than any of us could ever love her. And I think out of everything, that hurt me the most. She just looked at your parents supposed to love you, but that's it. But your parents never stop being in love with their children. She is nothing. When a child do something great to their parents and their parents bear witness of it, it's phenomenal. It's one of the best things they ever saw compared to any superstar. And they could be on Little League baseball, Pee Wee basketball, Pee Wee baseball, whatever. It's phenomenal because that's your creation. That's your bloodline. So to see somebody strip that emotion, that love and disconnect it, I think that was more traumatic.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You hit it on the head. I mean, it's the black communities. Like, what the problem is, in defense of speaking on people that has a pedophilia history that he has, nobody want to talk about they failed to get him help. It's no help from any government assistance or any government program worldwide that offers help in urban communities. Why do you think urban communities have the highest rates in murder, highest rates in robbery, highest rates in rapes and sexual assaults and this and that? Because it's no therapy. It's no one telling you right and wrong unless you get found guilty. You get found guilty, then yes, you had to do it. But that's not the factor. The factor is if you lived in a certain area, geographic area, and something happened, they shut a whole school down. A whole school down. Just to make sure that the proper therapy is demonstrated to help people get through it. Car accidents, accidental killings, somebody get raped. Oh my goodness, you're going to have a week full of therapy in there telling people this is not acceptable. This is what you need to do. Look at the colleges.
Angela,
so in black communities, we have to suck it up.
Without getting too political, you have an openly racist president now, so you know it's not the best time.
Yeah.
Can I ask?
But
go on.
But it's not even about the president.
No.
This has been going on in black communities.
Yeah.
Just let me tell you, and it's simple: to fix a black community must take responsibility for ourselves. There's nothing to do with no other culture. If we want to fix something, we got to first identify our own problems. Our problems are within us, not nobody else. We have to fix us will be by us. And that's the only way to fix. You don't have, I don't have Caucasian or Chinese or any other race bombing these young victims on the internet. You have a black race and not even a peers that you have generation difference. You have 60, like a woman on there, 60-something years old, who calls my daughter every whore in the book.
Wow.
And then call herself a victim and says she was raped and she a real victim. My daughter don't show no
emotion
being a victim, so she's not a victim. This is somebody who admits you 62 years old and you're on a platform sounding like a complete idiot because that shows you never got help because you can identify a victim because you was a victim. So now you call a 22-year-old that was taken advantage as 17-year-old by a 50 or 49-year-old man. And that's acceptable to discredit her, but you praise him. Like, this shit is astronomical to me. Excuse my French.
Oh, I think you've been very restrained considering. Angela, listen, we're almost out of time. A couple of questions. A couple of quick questions. First of all, where are we with the trial? Do we know when the trial is like happening? Have we got dates?
This is the crazy part. This man has three trials. One that's gone, and two that's in Chicago where he's born and raised, that are stacked totally against him. That's going to crush him. Now, we're not even talking about the case that my daughter is a part of. That's out. They don't have a date on that yet. That's out.
Wow.
But these people have made my daughter public enemy number one, when she has nothing to do with two cases. Two of the cases was before my daughter was even 10 years old. But you don't see none of them speaking about none of the cases that he's getting ready to face right now. And he's getting ready to go up and face these cases right now. I think he go to court in like next month.
Right.
He's back in court and he's going to start trial in one of the cases. So they the cases you need to worry about. Why are you bashing my child because she's strong? Because she's the first one that's going to really, really, really tell the truth about R. Kelly and the way his design was to facilitate and destroy and sexually abuse, sexually mistreat, physically abuse, drug abuse, and everything that he wanted to do under the sun to these young black women. And now that you got this young Azriel Clary that's standing strong, taking every beating, every second on the internet and everything, and still able to smile, that break my heart. That break my heart.
If you
know how strong she has to be for everybody else that's still weak enough to hide and act like it don't exist or it didn't happen to me. It did happen to you. It happened to all of y'all, whether you was older or younger.
Angelo,
didn't happen to, huh?
Sorry to interrupt. I just want to ask if you got to meet him, what would you say to him?
I met him on several occasions, but after now,
if you met him now that you've got your girl back and she's back and she's part of the family again, what would you say to him?
That would never happen. That would never happen.
Because
so I would hold what I would want to say,
right?
You know, because I'm already got reports on me already for posting threatening by protecting my family. So it's crazy to me. But what I will say in his bloodline, that I do pray every day for them three beautiful kids that he has that has to be going through so much pain, so much confusion, that I just pray that they're strong enough to get through this and be able to move on, because they did not deserve this. The same way my daughter didn't deserve. The same way any other of these young victims did not deserve this. That's what I pray for his defense. I don't even want to acknowledge him, but his kids, I do that.
Go on, Catherine.
Angelo, you've mentioned Team Truth a couple of times. This is your attempt to try and change things for the future. The problems that you've seen during your fight to get Azriel back, but also the aftermath of what she went through. Tell us about Team Truth.
Team Truth was put together by me, organized. I used to just talk about the truth. Everybody's like, oh, everybody talking about this, and that, and I always stuck with the truth. And through this, I met so many. I met women older than me, with kids 13, 14. I never even met. I met inboxing, DMing me, flooding me with their stories. And they started opening up about being sexually molested and raped and this and that. Nobody had no one to talk to. And I started being that uncle and that father and that brother and that voice for them, which curved my whole direction from I had programs that did concrete polishing for young teens that needed a second chance at life and to learn how to be entrepreneurs. I, after discontinuing my contract with that, I went into Team Truth to build up women, because the fight wasn't always the kings, the young kings. It was the women that been mistreated, black women and Spanish women, to be more specific, that been mistreated here by men for so long that we forgot what they was really worth and what they really mean to us. And Team Truth is organized to bring these stories, bring these horrible secrets to life, so that they can get past it and be more productive women and be open at a dinner table now to talk about, hey, this is not right. Not right that my uncle looked at me and saw me get out the shower and he smiled and laughed at me and said, you look good. It's not right. So now we're having these discussions and we're bringing these discussions to the dinner table. So now what you think the pedophiles going to do? They're gonna start eliminating themselves and going into their little closets again and hiding, because they don't want to face the ridicule of what they are. And we don't want to run them so they can be shamed. We want to run them to get them some help. Some of them need to run to get face their truth and get the time that they deserve for doing this for years and years to young women, and you don't think nothing wrong with it. And you look at their life 20 years later, they married, kids, and you look at the young girl that he destroyed. She got babies everywhere. She has no type of commitment to a man, because she think every man is that man. She think everybody is, this is where she's supposed to be, a roadmap for men to release themselves. And they much more than that. But being as though they never got help to understand what happened to them wasn't their fault, they go through life blaming themselves for every situation. And that's where you get men that manipulate these women and beat them down for the little bit of strength they have left, and then nothing left. The L percentage of black women being strong and enough to stand up is so small, it's not even funny. But Team Truth is a group that builds back up black women, Spanish women, and any other women that ever been through this, regardless of your race, regardless of your background. We for building any women back up to make them stronger. Because I think in the world, if we build strong women across the board, you're going to start developing strong men again.
Angelo, thank you so much for your time. You're an inspiration. You're a real inspiration as a dad, as a man. I couldn't speak as calmly and be as intelligent and as collected as you have, and also turn a horrific event in your family and turn it into a positive and helping the community. I can only thank you for talking to us and sharing that with us, Angelo, and send lots of love to you and to Azriel and the rest of the family. And, you know, I hope justice is done, and I hope you all manage to find some peace.
I think I will, and I think the peace is coming with every story that come out of this that I am able to be a part of and help. And I tell everybody, support Azriel. The UK wants to see a difference. Stand behind this young girl, and I promise you, nobody will be disappointed. This young girl is fire. She's strong, and she's going to stand till the day she dies for what she believes in. And right now, what she believes in is that she should nobody, no young woman, no young man, be put in the predicament she was in, to be lied to, mistreated, abused, sexually abused, mentally abused, physically abused, and then isolated away from their family, all for the pleasure of that man's personal, unapologetic pleasure, because that's all it was.
Thank you, Angelo. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.